A Treatise on the Fourth Commandment by Thomas Boston, 1676 to 1732. The Sabbath day is a perpetual and moral obligation established by God in the second chapter of Genesis, reiterated in the Ten Commandments, clarified in the teachings of Jesus, and recommemorated in light of his glorious resurrection. The majority of the Puritan divines were persecuted for their failure to yield the market day of the soul to an otherwise wholesome pursuit of leisurely activities and sporting events. That's from the editor, Dr. Gerald Meck. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Introduction. This command relates to the time of worship and is the last of the first table of the Ten Commandments, set to join both tables of the commandments together, the Sabbath being the bond of all religion. In the words, we have the command and the reasons annexed to the command. Roman numeral 1, the command. It is delivered in two ways, positively and negatively. The command is delivered positively. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath signifies rest or cessation from labor. There is a threefold rest or Sabbath spoken of in Scripture. There's a temporal, the weekly Sabbath, a spiritual, which is an internal soul rest in ceasing from sin, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, and an eternal, celebrated in heaven, where the saints rest from their labors. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. It is the first of these, the weekly Sabbath, that is here meant. Observe here, number 1, our duty with respect to the Sabbath. It is to keep it holy. God has made it holy, set it apart for holy exercises, and we must keep it holy, spending it in holy exercises. Number 2, the quantity of time to be observed, as a Sabbath of rest, as a day, a whole day of 24 hours, and the one day in seven. They must observe a seventh day after 6 days labor, wherein all our work must be done and finished, so as nothing of it may remain to be done on the Sabbath. Number 3, a note of remembrance put upon it, which indicates that this precept should be diligently observed, special regard paid to it, and due honor put upon this sacred day. The command is delivered negatively. Here, observe two things. Letter A, what is forbidden here? The doing of any work that may hinder the sanctifying of this day. Letter B, to whom the command is directed, and who must observe it? Magistrates, to whom belong the gates of the city, and masters of families, to whom belong the gates of the home. They must observe it themselves and cause others to observe it. Roman numeral number 2. The reasons annexed to this command. None of the commands is thus delivered, both positively and negatively, as this one is. And that indicates the following three matters. Number 1. God is in a special manner concerned for the keeping of the Sabbath, it being that on which all religion depends. Accordingly, as it is observed or disregarded, so it readily goes with the other parts of religion. Number 2, people are most ready to have, that's H-A-L-V-E, the service of this day, either to look on resting from labor as sufficient, or to look on the work of the day as over, when the public work is over. Number 3, there is less light of nature for this command than the rest. For though it is a naturally moral command that there should be a Sabbath, yet it is but positively moral that this should be one day in seven, depending entirely on the will of God. In discoursing further from this subject, I shall show Roman numeral 1, what is required in the fourth commandment. Roman numeral 2, which day of the seven God has appointed to be the weekly Sabbath. Roman numeral 3, how the Sabbath is to be sanctified. Roman numeral 4, what is forbidden in this command. Roman numeral 5, the reasons annexed to it. And Roman numeral 6, make an application of the subject. Roman numeral 1, I am to show what is required in the fourth commandment. This command, according to our catechism, requires the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven, to be a holy Sabbath to himself. Here I shall show letter A. This command requires the keeping holy to God such set times as he has appointed in his word. Roman numeral B. It requires one day in seven to be kept as a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Roman numeral C. The day to be kept holy is one whole day. Letter A. God has appointed times which are to be kept holy. First, I am to show that this command requires the keeping holy to God such set times as he has appointed in his word. The Jews, under the Old Testament, had several days beside the weekly Sabbath, that by divine appointment were to be kept as holy days, and by virtue of this command, they were to observe them, even as by virtue of the second commandment, they were to observe the sacrifices and other parts of the Old Testament instituted worship. But these days are taken away under the gospel by the coming of Christ. But that which this commandment in the first place requires is the keeping holy of a Sabbath to God, whatever be the day God determines for it, whether the seventh in order from creation, as under the Old Testament, or the first, as under the New. And so the command is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, not remember the Sabbath or remember the seventh day. Thus, the keeping of a Sabbath is moral duty binding all persons in all places of the world. For it is a moral duty, and it is required by the natural law, that as God is to be worshipped, not only internally but externally, not only privately but publicly, so there must be some special time designed and set apart for this, without which it cannot be done. And so the very pagans had their Sabbaths and holy days. This is the first thing signified here, namely that a Sabbath is to be kept. Another thing signified here is that it belongs to God to determine the Sabbath or what day or days he will have to be kept holy. He does not say, remember to keep holy a Sabbath day or a day of rest, leaving it to men what day shall be holy and what not, but remember the Sabbath day, supposing the day to be already determined by himself, so that we are bound to the set time appointed in his word. And this condemns men taking on themselves, whether as churches or states, to appoint holy days to be kept, which God has not appointed in his word. Consider the four following matters. Number one, this command puts a peculiar honor on the Sabbath above all other days. Remember the Sabbath day. But when men make holy days of their own to be kept holy, the day appointed of God is spoiled because of its peculiar honor. And there is no peculiar honor left to it. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 8. Yea, in practice they go before it. For men's holy days, where they are regarded, are more regarded than God's day. Number two, this command says, 6 days shalt thou labor. Formalists say, there are many of these 6 days thou shalt not labor, for they are holy days. But if these words contain a command, who can countermand it? if but a permission, who can take away that liberty which God has left us? As for fast days or thanksgiving days appointed on particular occasions, they are not holy days. The worship is not made to wait on the days, as on Sabbaths and holidays, but the days are made to wait on the worship which God by his providence requires, and consequently there must be a time for performing these exercises. Number 3. It belongs only to God to make a holy day. For who can sanctify a creature but the Creator? Or who can sanctify time but the Lord of time? He only can give the blessing. Why should they then sanctify a day who cannot bless it? The Lord abhors holy days devised out of men's own hearts. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 33. Number 4. What reason is there to think that when God has taken away from the church's neck a great many holy days appointed by himself, he has left the gospel church to be burdened with as many, nay, and more of men's invention than he himself had appointed? Letter B. One day in seven must be kept as a holy Sabbath. This command requires one day in seven to be kept as a holy Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Thus the Lord determines the quantity of time that is to be his own in a peculiar manner, that is, the seventh part of our time. After 6 days of working, a seventh is to be a Sabbath. This is moral, binding upon all persons in all ages, and not a ceremony abrogated by Christ. First, this command of appointing one day in seven for a Sabbath is one of the commands of that law, consisting of 10 commandments, which cannot be made without this. It was written on tables of stone to show the perpetuity of it, and of which Christ says, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Second, it was appointed and given by God to Adam in innocency, before there was any ceremony to be taken away by the coming of Christ. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Third, all the reasons annexed to this command are moral, respecting all men, as well as the Jews to whom the ceremonial law was given. And we find strangers obliged to the observation of it, as well as the Jews, but they were not obliged to the observation of ceremonial laws. Fourthly, Jesus Christ speaks of it as a thing perpetually to endure, even after the Jewish Sabbath was over and gone, Matthew 24, verse 20. And so, although the Sabbath of the seventh day, in order from the creation, was changed into the first day, yet it still was kept a seventh day. Letter C. One whole day must be kept holy. The day to be kept holy is one whole day, not a few hours while the public worship lasts, but a whole day. There is an artificial day between sunrise and sunset, John chapter 11, verse 9, and a natural day of 24 hours, Genesis chapter 1, which is the day here meant. This day we begin in the morning immediately after midnight, and so does the Sabbath begin, and not in the evening, as is clear if you consider the following three matters. First, John chapter 20, verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, where you see that the evening following, not going before this first day of the week, is called the evening of the first day. Second, our Sabbath begins where the Jewish Sabbath ended. But the Jewish Sabbath did not end towards the evening, but towards the morning. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, etc. Thirdly, our Sabbath is held in memory of Christ's resurrection, and it is certain that Christ rose early in the morning of the first day of the week. Let us therefore take the utmost care to give God the whole day, spending it in the manner he has appointed, and not look on all the time, apart from what is spent in public worship as our own, which is too much the case in these degenerate times wherein we live. Roman numeral 2. Which day of the seven has God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? I come now to show which day of the seven God has appointed to be the weekly Sabbath. According to our catechism, from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. We have heard that this command requires a Sabbath to be kept, that is, one whole day in seven. We are now to consider what day that is. The Scripture teaches us that there are 2 days which have, by divine appointment, had this honor: the seventh day and the first day of the week. The seventh day of the week. As to the seventh day, it is acknowledged by all that that was the Jewish Sabbath. And concerning it, consider the following 4 matters. Letter A. Who appointed the seventh day to be the Sabbath? It was God himself that appointed the seventh, which is the last day of the week, by us called Saturday, to be the Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. He that was the Lord of time made this designation of the time at first. Letter B. Wherefore did God at first appoint the seventh? The reason of this was that as God rested that day from all his works of creation, men might, after his own example, rest on that day from their own works, that they might remember his and celebrate the praises of the Creator. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and rested the seventh day. The work of creation was performed in the 6 days, and nothing was made on the seventh day, so that the first new day that man saw was a holy day, a Sabbath, that he might know the great end of his creation was to serve the Lord. Letter C. How long did that appointment of the seventh day last? To the resurrection of Christ. This was its last period, at which time it was to give place to a new institution, as will afterwards appear. The day of Christ's resurrection was the day of the finishing of the new creation, the restoration of a marred world. Letter D. When was the Sabbath of the seventh day appointed first? Some who detract from the honor of the Sabbath contend that it was not appointed till the promulgating of the law on Mount Sinai, and that its first institution was in the wilderness. We hold that it was appointed from the beginning of the world. For proof of this, consider the following. First, Moses tells us plainly that God, immediately after perfecting the works of creation, blessed and hallowed the seventh day. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Now, how could it be blessed and hallowed but by an appointing of it to be the Sabbath, setting it apart from common works, to the work of God's solemn worship? The words run on in a continued history without the least shadow of anticipating, upwards of 2,000 years, as some would have it. Second, the Sabbath of the seventh day was observed before the promulgation of the law from Sinai and is spoken of, Exodus chapter 16, not as a new institution, but as an ancient institution. So, in verse 5, preparation for the Sabbath is called for before any mention of it is made, clearly signifying that it was known before. See verse 23, where the Sabbath is given for a reason why they should prepare the double quantity of manna on the sixth day, which says that solemn day was not first instituted then. In the breach of the Sabbath, verse 28, is exposed as the violating of a law formerly given. Thirdly, in the fourth commandment, they are called to remember the Sabbath day as a day that was not then first appointed, but had been appointed before, although it had gone out of use and had been much forgotten when they were in Egypt. Besides, the reasons of this command, God's resting the seventh day and blessing and hallowing it, being from the beginning of the world, say that the law was in force when the reason of the law took place. Fourthly, this is evident from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. The apostle there proves that there remains a Sabbath, or rest to the people of God, into which they are to enter by faith. From this, that the scripture speaks only of three Sabbatisms, or rests. One after the works of creation, another after the coming into Canaan, and David's words cannot be understood of the first. For that was over, verse 3, and so was the other. Therefore there remaineth a rest for the people of God, in verse 9. Objection. Some allege against this that the patriarchs did not observe the Sabbath because there is no mention made of it in the scriptures. Answer. This is no just prejudice, for at that rate we might as well conclude that it was not observed all the time of the judges, Samuel and Saul, for nowhere is it recorded in that history that they did. Yea, though the patriarchs had not observed it, yet that could no more militate against the first institution than their polygamy could militate against the first institution of marriage. But as from the patriarchs sacrificing, we infer the divine appointment of sacrifice, so from the first institution of the Sabbath, we may infer their keeping it. And their counting by weeks, as Noah did, Genesis chapter 8, verses 10 and 12, and Laban with Jacob, Genesis chapter 29, verses 27 and 28, does not show it obscurely. For to what end did they use this computation, but that the Sabbath might be distinguished from other days? And the piety of the patriarchs persuades us that they observed that solemn day for worship, and if any day, what but that designed by God? The first day of the week. As to the Sabbath of the first day of the week, letter A, consider the date of it, which is from the resurrection of Christ, to continue to the end of the world, for the days of the gospel are the last days. Letter B, how the Sabbath could be changed from the seventh to the first day of the week. The fourth commandment holds but a Sabbath to be kept, and that one in seven. As for the designation of the day, he that designed one could design another, and the substituting of a new day is the repealing of the old. Letter C, wherefore this change was made. Well, it was made upon the account of the resurrection of Christ, wherein the work of man's redemption was completed. Letter D, by what authority it was changed into the first day. The Sabbath was by divine authority changed from the seventh to the first day of the week, so that the Lord's Day is now by divine appointment the Christian Sabbath. First, the Sabbath of the first day of the week is prophesied of under the Old Testament, Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made, the day of Christ's resurrection, when the stone which the builders rejected was made the head of the corner. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That is, we will celebrate it as a day of rejoicing and thankfulness for the work of redemption. Compare Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. It is possible that the following passage may refer to this matter, Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 27. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forward, the priests shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord. And it may be called the eighth day, because the first day of the week now is the eighth in order from the creation. As also Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, his rest shall be glorious. As the Father's rest from the work of creation was glorious by the seventh day's rest, so the rest of the Son from the work of redemption was glorious by the first day's rest. On this day it was that the light was formed. So on this day did Christ, the Son of righteousness, the true light, arise from the dark mansions of the grave with resplendent glory. Second, this day is called the Lord's Day, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. That this Lord's Day is the first day of the week is clear, if you consider that John speaks of this day as a known day among Christians by that name. It could not be the Jewish Sabbath, for that is always called the Sabbath. And the Jewish Sabbaths were then repealed, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Neither could it mean any other day of the week wherein Christ specially manifested himself, for that would determine no day at all. And that this phrase infers a divine institution is evident from the like phrase of the sacrament called the Lord's Supper. Third, it is evident that there ought to be a Sabbath, and that from the creation till Christ's resurrection, the seventh day, in order, was appointed by God himself. It is no less evident that the Sabbath is changed to the first day of the week, and that lawfully, because the Jewish Sabbath is repealed. Now, who could lawfully make this change but one who had divine authority? Who therefore is called the Lord of the Sabbath? Mark chapter 2, verse 28. Fourthly, it was the practice of the apostles and primitive Christians to observe the first day of the week for the Sabbath. John chapter 20, verse 19, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On this day, the collection for the poor was made. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. And you know the apostles had from Christ what they delivered to the churches as to ordinances. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Letter E. The Lord, by glorious displays of his grace and spirit, has remarkably honored this day in all ages of the church, and by signal strokes from heaven has vindicated the honor of this day on the profaners of it. Of this, remarkable instances may be seen in history, both at home and abroad. Let us therefore sanctify this day as the day which God has appointed and blessed as a day of sacred rest in the Christian church. Roman numeral 3. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? I come now to show you how the Sabbath is to be sanctified. The Catechism tells us, it is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. Here I shall show what it is to sanctify the Sabbath, and what are the parts of the sanctification of it. Letter A. What is it to sanctify the Sabbath? The Sabbath day is not capable of any sanctity or holiness except what is relative, that is, in respect of its use for holy rest or exercise. So, first, God has sanctified that day by setting it apart for holy uses, designing and appointing it in a special manner for his own worship and service. Secondly, men must sanctify it by keeping it holy, spending that day in God's worship and service, for which God has set it apart, using it only for the uses that God has consecrated it unto. What are the parts of the sanctification of the Sabbath? There are two: holy rest and holy exercise. Letter B, sanctifying the Sabbath by a holy rest. The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy rest. Therefore, it is called a Sabbath, i.e., a rest. First, what are we to rest from? Letter A. On the Sabbath, we must rest, firstly, from our worldly employments. God has given us 6 days for these, but his day must be kept free of them. In it, thou shalt not do any work. The works of our worldly calling have 6 days, those of our heavenly calling but one. We must rest from the former that we may apply ourselves to the latter. Now, such works are to be accounted. First, all manual labor or servile employments tending to our worldly gain, as on other days of the week, as plowing and sowing, bearing of burdens, etc., Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15, driving of beasts to market, or exercising any part of one's calling, Roman numeral II, all study of liberal arts and sciences. The Sabbath is not a day for such exercises as the reading of history, the studying of sciences, etc., Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, Roman numeral III. All civil works, such as making of bargains, unnecessary journeying, traveling to Monday markets on the Lord's Day, though people wait on sermons or take them by the way. It is indeed the sin of those that do not change their market days when they so fall out, and a sin in the government to suffer it. But that will not justify those who comply with the temptation, seeing God has given us other days of the week. If they cannot overtake their market after the Sabbath, they should go away before, that they may rest on the Sabbath wherever they are. Exodus chapter 16, verse 29. Letter B. Secondly, on the Sabbath, we must rest from all worldly recreations, though lawful on other days. It is not a day for carnal pleasures of any form, any more than it is for worldly employments. Our delights should be heavenly this day, not to please the flesh, but the spirit. And sports, plays, and pastimes are a gross profanation of the Sabbath. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Now, this rest of the Sabbath from these must be Roman numeral I, little I, a rest of the hands. The hands must rest that the heart may be duly exercised. Roman numeral little II, a rest of the tongue. People should not give their orders for the week's work on the Lord's Day, nor converse about their worldly business. Roman numeral letter III, a rest of the head from thinking and forming plans and contrivances about worldly affairs. But here are accepted works of two sorts. Firstly, works of necessity, as to quench a house on fire, etc. Secondly, works of mercy, as to save the life of a beast, Matthew chapter 12, under which may be comprehended, Roman numeral little letter I. Good works, such as visiting the sick, relieving the poor, etc. Roman numeral little II. Works of decency, such as dressing the body with comely attire. Roman numeral letter III. Works of common honesty and humanity, as saluting one another, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Roman numeral little I, little V. works of necessary refreshment, as dressing and taking of meat. And Roman numeral, little letter V. Works having a necessary connection with and tendency to the worship of God, as traveling on the Lord's Day to sermons, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 23. But in all these things, it should be observed that the necessity should be real and not pretended. For it is not enough that the work cannot be done to such advantage on another day, for that might let out people on the Sabbath, if it be but a windy day or so forth, to cut down their corn, which yet God has in a special manner provided against, Exodus chapter 34, verse 21, and that would have justified the sellers of fish, whom Nehemiah discharged, Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 16 through 19. And therefore I cannot think that the making of cheese on the Lord's Day can be accounted a work of necessity, lawful on that day, for as much might be said in the other cases as can be said in this, that the corn may shake, the fishes spoil, etc. Besides, people should take heed that they bring not that necessity on themselves by timelessly providing to prevent it. And when works of real necessity and mercy are to be done, they should be done, not with a work days, but Sabbath days frame. Secondly, who are to rest? Well, this command is very particular. Letter A, persons. The heads of the family, the heads of the state, master and mistress, are to give example to others. The children, son, daughter. They must not have their liberty to profane the Sabbath by playing any more than by working. Servants, whose toil all the week may tempt them to misspend the Lord's day, they must not be bidden to profane the Sabbath, and if they be, they must obey God rather than man. The stranger must not be allowed his liberty. We must not compliment away the honor of the Sabbath. Letter B. Beasts. They must rest, not that the law reaches them for themselves, but for their owners, either because they require attendance at work, or put the case they did not, yet it is the work which must not be done. This lets us see that where even their work may be carried on the Lord's Day, without attendance on them, yet it is not to be done. Thirdly, what makes the rest holy? Respect to the command of God. Letter C. Sanctifying the Sabbath by holy exercises. The Sabbath is to be sanctified by holy exercise. First, public exercises of God's worship, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23, such as hearing sermons, Luke chapter 4, verse 16, prayer, Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, receiving of the sacraments, where there is occasion, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the singing of psalms, Psalm 92 title. Secondly, private exercises of worship. Alone and in our families, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. Neither of these must jostle out the other. God has joined them, let us not put them asunder. And these duties are to be done with a special elevation of heart on the Sabbath day. They ought to be performed with a frame suiting the Sabbath, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. Letter A. Grace must be stirred up to exercise. Otherwise, the Sabbath will be a burden. Grace will be at its height in heaven, and the Sabbath is an emblem of heaven, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Letter B. The heart should be withdrawn from all earthly things and intent upon the duty of the day. We must leave the ass at the foot of the mount, that we may converse with God. Letter C. Love and admiration are special ingredients here. The two great works of creation and redemption, which we are particularly called to remember on the Lord's Day, are calculated to excite our love and admiration. Letter D. We should have a peculiar delight in the day and the duties of it, exchanging our lawful pleasures on other days with spiritual pleasures on this. The holy rest must be combined with the holy exercises. The rest without holy exercise is not sufficient. Letter A. The Sabbath rest resembles that of heaven, which is a rest without a rest, wherein the soul is most busy and active, serving the Lord without weariness. Letter B. If it were enough, we were obliged to sanctify the Sabbath no more than the beasts, who only rest that day. Letter C. The rest enjoined is not a command for itself, but for the holy exercises of the day. Now, it is the whole day that is thus to be spent, i.e., the natural day. Not that people are bound to be in these exercises without intermission all the 24 hours, for God has not made the Sabbath to be a burden to man, but that we should continue God's work as we do our own on other days, or we are allowed necessary rest and refreshment by sleep in the night. Application. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This note is put upon it for the following two reasons. Number one, because of the great weight of the thing, the Sabbath being the bond of all religion, it is God's deal day, wherein his people may expect furniture for all the week. Number two, because we are very apt to forget it, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. There is less light of nature for this than other commands. It restrains our liberty in those things that we do all the week. And Satan, knowing the importance of it for our souls, that it is a day of blessing, sets on us to forget it. If you would then sanctify the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day in these three ways. Letter A. Remember it before it come, on the last day of the week, here on the Saturday's evening, laying by work, timelessly, to prepare for it. Luke chapter 23, verse 54. Letter B. Remember it when it is come. Rise early on the Sabbath morning. Psalm 92, verse 2. The morning has enough ado. Worship God secretly and privately. Prepare yourselves for ordinances. Wrestle with God for his presence in them, that he may graciously assist the minister in preaching, and may graciously assist you in hearing, and may bless the word to you. Remember it while it is going on, that it is God's day, a day of blessing, and ply diligently the work of the day, not only in time of the public work, but after, till the day be finished. Letter C. Remember it when it is over, to see what good you have gotten by it, to bless him for any smiles of his face or manifestations of his grace, and to mourn over your failures and apply to the blood of Christ for pardon and cleansing. Roman numeral 4. What is forbidden in this command? I proceed to show what is forbidden in the fourth commandment. We are told in the Catechism that it forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, and the profaning the day by idleness, or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about worldly enjoyments or recreations. There are five ways in which this commandment is broken. Letter A. The commandment is broken by omission of Sabbath duties. This commandment is broken by omission of the duties required on this day, whether in whole or in part. Many of the Sabbath duties are the duties of every day, but the omission of them, which is always criminal, is more so on this day because on it we are specially called to them. We sin against this command then when we neglect the public or private exercises of God's worship. Number one, the commandment is broken by not remembering the Sabbath before it comes to prepare for it. Entertaining a carnal, worldly frame of spirit on the night before, and not laying aside work in good time and composing our hearts for the approaching Sabbath, far more when people continue at their work later that night than ordinary, getting as near the borders of the Sabbath as they can. Number two, the commandment is broken by neglecting the duties of the Sabbath morning, particularly, letter A, the duty of meditation. Those that are in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, their spirits will be busy, elevated to heavenly things, and conversing with heaven. The two great works of creation and redemption require our thoughts, particularly on that day, Psalm 92, verse 5. And we must needs be guilty when, while God has set these great marks before us, we do not aim to hit them. Has not God made it a day of blessing? Should we not then consider our wants, miseries, and needs, and sharpen our appetites after that food that is set before us in ordinances on that day? Letter B, the duty of secret prayer. The Sabbath morning is a special time for wrestling with God, confessing, petitioning, and giving thanks. Then there should be wrestling for the blessing on the day of blessing, and the neglect of it is a very bad beginning for that good day. When will they come to God's door who will not come then? Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. Letter C, the duty of family exercise. This command has a special respect to family religion, as God will have the family to mind and see to their own work on the 6 days, so he calls them to mind his together on the Sabbath. Every family is to be a church, especially on the Lord's Day. And if people came with their hearts warmed from family duties to the public, they would speed. Number three, the commandment is broken by neglect of the public exercises of God's worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. By this neglect, the Sabbath is profaned. The public ordinances on the Lord's Day, whatever else they do, they keep up a standard for Christ in the world, and to slight them is the way to fill the world with atheism and profaneness, as it would be the sin of ministers not to administer them, so it is the sin of people not to attend on them. But oh, how does this profanation abound by unnecessary absenting from public ordinances? It is not enough to spend the time in private. God requires both, and the one must not jostle out the other. Nothing should be admitted as an excuse in this, but what will bear weight when the conscience is sifted before God. Number four, the commandment is broken by neglecting the duties of the day when the public work is over. The Sabbath is not over when the public work is over. When we go home to our houses, we must keep the Sabbath there too. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. It ought not to be an idle time. You ought to retire by yourselves and meditate on what you have heard, on your behavior at the public ordinances, and be humbled for your failings. Confer together about the word, renew your calling on God in secret and in your families, and with a variety of holy exercises, spend what remains of the day. Letter B. The commandment is broken by careless performance of Sabbath duties. The Sabbath is profaned by a careless performance of the duties required. The Sabbath is profaned by a careless performance of the duties required. Though we perform the duties themselves, we may profane the Sabbath by the way of managing them. Now it is a careless performance to perform them. Number one, hypocritically, Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. While the body is exercised in Sabbath's work, but the heart goes on, not along with it. Number two, carnally, in an earthly frame of spirit, the heart savoring nothing of heaven, but still of the world. Hence are so many distracting thoughts about worldly things that the heart cannot be intent on the duty of the day. Amos chapter 8, verse 5. Number three, heartlessly and coldly. The Sabbath should be called a delight. A special vigor and alacrity is required to Sabbath duties. But oh, how flat, heartless, dead, and dull are we for the most part, so that many are quite out of their element on the Lord's day, and never come to themselves, or any alacrity of spirit, till the Sabbath be over, and they return to their business. Number 4, to perform them with the weariness of them, or in them. Malachi chapter 1, verse 13. Alas, is not the Sabbath the most wearisome day of all the week to many? The rest of the Sabbath is more burdensome than the toil of other days. How will such take with heaven when there is an eternal rest, an everlasting Sabbath? This is a contempt of God and of his day. Letter C. The commandment is broken by idleness on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is profaned by idleness. God has made the Sabbath a rest, but not a mere rest. He never allows idleness. On the weekdays, we must not be idle, or we misspend our own time. On the Lord's day, we must not be idle, or we misspend and profane God's time. Thus, the Sabbath is idled away and profaned. Number 1, by unnecessary, unseasonable sleeping in that day. Lying long in the Sabbath morning, going soon to bed that night, to cut God's day as short as may be, and much more sleeping in any other time of the day to put off the time. Number 2, by vain gadding abroad on the Lord's day, through the fields, or gathering together about the doors to idle away the time in company. It is very necessary that people keep indoors on the Lord's day as much as may be, and if necessity or conveniency call them forth, that they carry their Sabbath's work with them. Number 3, by vain and idle discourse or thoughts. We must give an account of every idle word spoken on any day, far more for those spoken on the Lord's day, which are doubly sinful. Letter D. The commandment is broken by sinning on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is profaned by doing that which is in itself sinful. To do those things on the Lord's day that ought not to be done any day is a sin highly aggravated. Thus, the Sabbath is profaned by people's discouraging others from attending ordinances instead of attending them themselves, swearing or cursing on that day instead of praising God. The better the day, the worse the deed. How fearful must their doom be who await that time for their wicked pranks as some dishonest servants and other naughty persons who choose the time that others are at church for their hidden works of dishonesty, because then they get most secrecy. And indeed the devil is very busy that way, and has brought some on to commit such things on the Sabbath day as have brought them to an ill end. Letter E. The commandment is broken by worldly employments and recreations on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is profaned by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about worldly employments or recreations. The Sabbath is profaned, number 1, by carnal recreations. In no way necessary nor suitable to the work of the Sabbath, such as all carnal pleasures, sports, plays, and pastimes, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. Number 2, by following of worldly employments on that day, working or going about ordinary business, except in cases of necessity and mercy, Matthew chapter 24, verse 20. Though, where real necessity or mercy is, it is an abuse of that day to forbear such things, as sometimes the Jews did, who being attacked on the Lord's day would not defend themselves. Number 3, by unnecessary thoughts or discourse about them. For that day is a day of rest from them every way, and we should neither think nor talk about them. Oh, let us be deeply humbled before the Lord under the sense of our profanations of the Sabbath. For who can plead innocency here? We are all guilty. Yeah, all of us, even the narrator. We are all guilty in some shape or other and had need to flee to the atoning blood of Jesus for the expiation of this and all our other sins. Roman numeral 5. What are the reasons annexed to the command? I come now to consider the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment. And these, according to the Catechism, are God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments, His challenging a special propriety in the seventh, His own example, and His blessing on the Sabbath day. This command God has enforced by four reasons. Letter A. The first reason is taken from the equity of this command. God has allowed us 6 days of seven for our own business and has reserved but one for Himself. In dividing our time betwixt Himself and us, He has made our share great. Six for one. And consider the force of this reason. First, we have time enough to serve ourselves in the 6 days, and shall we not serve God on the seventh? They that will not be satisfied with six would as little be satisfied with 16. But carnal hearts are like sand, are like a sand bed to devour that which is holy. Nay, second, we have time enough to tire ourselves on the 6 days in our own employments. It is a kindness that we are obliged to rest on the Lord's day. Our interest is our duty, and our duty is our interest. It is a kindness to our bodies and souls too. And shall we not be engaged by it to sanctify the Sabbath? Third, there is time enough to raise the appetite for the Sabbath. It comes so seldom, though so sweet to the exercised soul, that we may long for it and rejoice at the return of it. It is sad if 6 days' interval cannot make us find our stomach. Fourthly, God might have allowed us but one day and taken six to Himself. Who would have quarreled the Lord of time? Or who could have quarreled the Lord of time? Has He reserved but one for six? And shall we grudge it Him? The sentence of David in the parable against the rich man that took away the poor man's one ewe lamb is applicable here. The man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, etc. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Letter B. This second reason is taken from God's challenging a special propriety in the Sabbath day. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. All days are His, but this is His in a peculiar manner. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. He has set a mark on it for Himself, to be reserved for Himself. Consider the force of this reason. First, if we have a God, it is reasonable that God should have a time set apart for His service. The Sabbath of the Lord thy God. The heathens had days set apart for the honor of their idols, though the dumb idols could not demand them, yet they gave them. Papists have set days apart for saints, who are to them a sort of gods, though some of them have forbidden it, just as Paul has done. And will you not keep holy the Sabbath of the Lord thy God? Second, it is a sacrilege, the worst of theft, to profane the Sabbath day. It is a robbing of God, a stealing from Him of time that is consecrated to Him and that is dangerous. Proverbs 20, verse 25. We justly blame the churches of Rome and England for robbing people of a great many days which God has given us. But how may we blame ourselves for robbing God of the day He has kept from us and taken to Himself? Alas, our zeal for God is far below our zeal for ourselves. They stick to their saints' days, but how weary are we of our God's days? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Letter C. The third reason is taken from God's example, who, though he could have perfected the world in a moment, yet spent 6 days in it, and but 6 days, resting the seventh, taking a complacency in the work of his own hand. And this is an example to be imitated by us. Consider the force of this reason. First, God's example proposed for imitation is a most, or God's example proposed for imitation is a most binding rule. Be ye followers of God, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. What God does is best done, and we must labor to write after his copy. Second, the profaning of the Sabbath is a most eminent and signal contempt of God and of his works. Did God rest on the Sabbath, taking a complacency in the 6 days' works? Our not doing so is an undervaluing of what God so highly esteemed, slighting of what he so much prized, and consequently a contempt of himself and his works too. Letter D. The fourth reason is taken from his blessing, the Sabbath day. His blessing of that day is his blessing it as a means of blessing us and the keeping of it. It indicates, first, the Lord's putting a peculiar honor on it beyond all other days. It is the holy of the Lord and honorable. The King of Heaven has made it the Queen of Days. Therefore, it should be our question. What shall be done to that day the king delights to honor? Let us beware of leveling that with common things which God has advanced so far above them. Secondly, that the Lord has set it apart for a spiritual blessing to his people, so that in the sanctification of that day we may look for a blessing, Isaiah chapter 56, verses 6 through 7. Nay, that the Lord will multiply his blessings on that day more on his people than on any other day wherein they seek it. So that as the Lord requires more on that day than on any other days, he also gives more. Third, that the Lord will make it even a spring of temporal blessings. He will not let the day of blessing be a curse to people in their temporal affairs. They shall be at no loss in their worldly things by the Sabbath rest, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 20 through 22. Conscientious keepers of the Sabbath will be found to thrive as well in other ways as those who are not. The force of this reason is, firstly, God's honor by keeping of that day, that we may get his blessing on it, showered down upon us. So that the profanation of the Sabbath is like profane Esau's rejecting the blessing. Secondly, it is our own interest. Is it a special day for blessing, and shall we not observe it? It is an unworthy mistake to look on the Sabbath as so much lost time. No time is so gainful as a Sabbath holily observed. And indeed, the great reason of the profaning of the Sabbath may be found to lie in the following three matters. Letter A, in carnality and worldly-mindedness. The Sabbath is no delight to many. Why? Because heaven would be no heaven to them, for they savor not the things of God. The heart that is drowned in the cares or pleasures of the world all the week over is as hard to get in a Sabbath frame as wet wood to take fire. Letter B, insensibleness of their need of spiritual blessings. They are not sensible of their wants, and hence they despise the blessing. He that has nothing to buy or sell can stay at home on the market day, and the full soul cares not for God's day. Letter C, the not believing of the blessing of that day. They that think they may come as good speed as any day in the duties of the day as on the Lord's day, no wonder that they count God's day and the duties of it as common. Roman numeral 6, application of the subject. Let me exhort you then to beware of profaning the Sabbath. Learn to keep it holy, and therefore I would call you here to 8 duties. Letter A. Remember the Sabbath day before it comes to prepare for it, and let your eye be on it before the week be done. Timelessly lay by your worldly equipment, and go not near the borders of the Lord's day, and strive to get your hearts in a frame suitable to the exercises of this holy day. Letter B. Make conscience of attending the public ordinances, and waiting on God in his own house on his own day. Loiter not away the Lord's day at home unnecessarily, seeing the Lord makes an appointment to meet his people there. This will bring leanness to your own soul, and grief of heart to him who bears the Lord's message to you. Letter C. Before you come to the public exercises, spend the morning in secret and private exercises, particularly in prayer, reading, and meditation, remembering how much your success depends upon suitable preparation. Put off your shoes before you tread the holy ground. Letter D. Do not make your attendance on the public ordinances a by-hand work and as a means for carrying on your worldly affairs. If you come to the church to meet with somebody and to discourse or make appointments about your worldly business, it will be a wonder if you meet with the Lord. If you travel on the Lord's day and take a preaching by the way, it may well cheat your blinded consciences. It will not be pleasing to God, for it makes his service to stand but in the second room, while your main end is what concerns your temporal affairs. Among the Jews, no man might make the mountain of the house or a synagogue a thoroughfare, and beware of common discourse between sermons, which is too much practiced among professing people. Letter E. When you come home from the public ordinances, let it be your care, both by the way and at home, to meditate or converse about spiritual things and what you have heard. Retire and examine yourselves as to what you have gained, and do not be as the unclean beasts who chew not the cud. Let masters of families take account of their children and servants, how they have profited. Catechize and instruct them in the principles of religion, and exhort them to piety. Letter F. When you are necessarily detained from the public ordinances, let your hearts be there, Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2, and do not turn to that sin which is in itself, or which in itself is not your sin, and strive to spend the Lord's day in private and secret worship, looking to the Lord for making up your deficiencies. As for those that tie themselves to men's service, that's M-E-N-D-S, service, without a due regard to having opportunities to hear the Lord's word, their wages are bought dearly, and they have little respect to God or their own souls. And I think tender Christians will be loath to pledge themselves in this way. But alas, few masters or servants look further than the work and wages in their engaging together. A sad argument that religion is at a low ebb. Letter G. Do not cut the Sabbath short. The Church of Rome has half holy days. God never appointed any such. It is one whole day. Alas, it is a sad thing to see how the Lord's day is consumed, as if people would make up the loss of a day out of Saturday's night and Monday's morning, which they do by cutting short the Lord's day. Letter H. Labor to be in a Sabbath day's frame. Let the thoughts of worldly business be far from you, and far more let worldly words and works be far from you. To press this, consider the following. First, it is God's command, whereby he tries your love to him. This day is as the forbidden fruit. Who does not condemn Adam and Eve for eating of it? Oh, do not profane it in any manner of way. Second, heaven will be an everlasting Sabbath. And our conversation should be heaven-like. If we grudge the Lord one day in seven, how will we digest an eternity? We are ready to complain that we are toiled with the world. Why then do we not enter into his rest? Third, the great advantage of sanctifying the Lord's day. He has made it a day of blessing. It is God's deal day and keeps up the heart of many through the week while they think of its approach. Fourth, you will bring wrath upon yourself if you do not sanctify the Sabbath. God may plague you with temporal, spiritual, and eternal plagues. Many begin with this sin of profaning the Lord's day, and it brings them at length to an ill hour, both in this world and that which is to come.